thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
There are many keys to many doors. I don't know how many doors there are in this building. For each one of those doors with a lock on it, there is a key. But there is a grand master key that fits all of them, or at least most of them. And that is sort of like the passage that is going to serve as the basis for the lesson this morning. 1 John 4:7-8. Where the Apostle John says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." It's amazing how many doors that statement unlocks. It explains a lot about things for which we need, or about which we need explanation. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. It explains creation. Oh, not the fact that there is a creator. I think that's a given. I think that's an obvious thing. I believe that any deep thinker realizes that not all of this just happened. It could not have. There must be a deep study and thought about origins. And one must, in my opinion, come to the conclusion there was intelligence behind all of this. So I'm not talking about whether or not there was a creator. I'm talking about that question, why would God create this world or this universe? Now, of course, the universe is much larger than this single planet, but this planet is the only thing that we really know and have experienced. It's a beautiful place. It's a marvelous place. It's an incredible place. When it's in its purest form, there is nothing like this world, this earth. But you know, you get to thinking about it, it is filled with human beings that do nothing except bring grief to God. We can see a little bit of it on our local news and reading the newspaper and just our own observation. But imagine being God, who knows and sees everything, all the evil that goes on behind closed doors and in the darkness that we never see, that we choose not to see. Why create a place that would only bring him grief and pain and agony? Why do that? If you are the creator, if you are God, why do it? Well, John told us why he did it. God is love. And if God is love, he cannot live in lonely isolation. Imagine being by yourself with no one else to love. Just this week on television news, Channel 3, Carol, I noticed this story that would probably go unnoticed by the majority of people. But I just took notice of one of many houses that burned down in our city. And here's are the firemen that go and put out this fire. But in this little shack on the edges of town, sort of an isolated part of town, I assume, was this little shack, and they found inside that shack the body of a man. That man had killed himself. Prior to that, however, he had set his house on fire. It got it going. And so it burned his house down, and he was dead of a self-inflicted gun wound or something. And the television news, acting for the police, simply asked, if anybody knows this man, if anybody knows of anyone of his family, in other words, they were saying, if you know of anyone who cares that this man died, that we need to notify, would you call the police? Can you imagine living that kind of life? Some neighbors knew his parents had died, and they knew of no one else that this man had connection to in this life. Well, I just cannot imagine that. I'm sure you cannot imagine that. To live in that kind of lonely isolation. Well, that is not love. That is not life. If God is love, that involves other people. Love calls people with all their problems, with all their imperfections, with all the grief they bring. Love calls people. And so when you think about God and God being a God of love, this world, in all of its beauty and magnificence, filled with all this humanity, is just a natural because God needed someone to love and someone to love Him back. That is His nature. God is love. There's a second thing that I would give as an illustration of what I'm talking about, being a door that is unlocked by this key or this passage. It explains free will. Free will. You see, if God was only a God of law and order, He would simply make robots, I guess you could call them, action figures in a video game that He could manipulate with some kind of a system, like PlayStation 3 or Xbox or something. I mean, He would have them do what He wanted them to do. No chance of personal relationships. There would be no need for it. But you see, love, by its very nature, must be something that is given of free will. It cannot be ordered. It cannot be commanded. It cannot be directed by some kind of controller. Love must be given. And if you are a parent, you know, I think, a deeper level of love than those who have not been privileged to have children. You know that you can order your kids to a certain point, and then they reach the age that you can no longer command them or make them do what you would have them to do. And so you love them enough that you let them go. And then what you get back in return must come from their free will. You hope it's love, but they must be granted that freedom first. Well, that's the way it is with God. Like a loving parent, He endowed people with free will to do what they choose to do. If you want love to be pure, it must not be coerced love. It must be free love. God is love. That explains free will. There must be free will with all of its ramifications, with all of its potential dangers, because of the essence of God. God is love, and love equals free will. Another example. This passage, 1 John 4, explains providence. Providence. The providence of God. The providing that God makes possible for us in our physical life. He could have given us a world. Beautiful, magnificent, wonderful. And He would say, okay, here it is. You take care of it. I wound it up. I made it. Now it's yours. I'm going to go away. and leave you to be on your own. And you take care of it and you do with it as you choose to do. Now, you know, there are philosophies that believe that. There are people who think that God is that distant being out there. He has little to do with day-to-day life. He made this beautiful world, but we can make it too hot or too cold, or we can blow it up, one nut job pushing the wrong button and it all goes away. I mean, it's all up to us. We are all alone. It's our responsibility. Well, it's terrifying to think that. It's creepily silent to walk around this old world and think there's nothing out there that cares for us. It's just dog eat dog, survival of the fittest. But there are people who believe that. But you see, because of that passage in 1 John 4, we are made to understand God's providence, because God is love that led him to this creative act that is beyond our comprehension, is followed by his constant care. Nothing goes without the notice of God. God is doing what he wants to do in his timing. Don't think for a moment we are all alone. His love depends or necessitates his providence. And you read in Colossians chapter 1, all things were created by him. And then you read, and in him all things hold together. Folks, I would suggest you don't get overly alarmed by all of the warnings and all of the provocative kinds of end time scenarios that people present as if we are in control. We are not in control. Why? Because God is love by his very nature. It explains his providence. Furthermore, it explains his redemption. Redemption. What a word. What a word. So inconceivable to most religions all over the world. I don't guess in any world religion there is that idea of God redeeming someone, purchasing them back. It's unheard of. But of course, we take it for granted. We sing about it. We casually mention it. I mean, it's just a part of our everyday going and coming, redemption. We're going to be celebrating that redemption in a few moments as we partake of the Lord's Supper and we contemplate what led to this deed that enables us to wake up in the morning feeling forgiven, clean, ready to start a new day without the old baggage of the past because of that redemption. But without that verse in 1 John 4, I don't think we would understand redemption. You see, if God was only law, then the ultimate end of law is justice. And what does justice say? Well, it says, just give me what I deserve. I just want justice. No, you don't want justice. You don't want justice. Because when you get justice, you get what you deserve. A moral law operates in this kind of world. And that moral law suggests an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. The soul that sins, it will die. I mean, that's the kind of world that you would have. You face judgment. You reap the consequences. And that's that. But you see, love demands that God seek and save that which is what? Lost. Lost. Think about that. God Himself left heaven, came down to this old spinning ball, walked the sometimes dry desert plains of Palestine to seek and to save that loneliest, most isolated person. If Jesus had come to Wichita Falls this past week, He would have sought out that man who killed himself in hopelessness. Our God had that mission that He gave to Himself and that He thus gives to us who will take up that mission. Love demands you do that. Old illustration, I know, but a mother asks, "What child do you love the most?" And the mother says, "Well, the one who's sick, the one who's desperate, the one who's sad, that's the child I love the most." Well, God loves us all, but He loves us most when we need Him most. And He came to seek us and find us. And then, if you can imagine this, all law must have punishment for it to have power. But God said, "I'll take the punishment. I can't eliminate the punishment because that is inherent in law. But I take the punishment." And so He came and bore the punishment for you and me. Well, that's an incredible thing. We can't begin to understand it, but that statement in 1 John 4 helps us a little bit when we understand that God is love. Not that God loves, but that God is love. By His most inherent nature, He is love. And you just think about that. If there had been no God in heaven, we would have no idea about the concept of love. But we enjoy it. We do it. We receive it. We give it because of the one we worship. Because He is love. The definition of love. One more thing, and it hits home especially this week with the loss of sweet Virginia. This statement explains life beyond. God is love. If God simply was the Creator, He would give us life, we would live it, and then we would die. That's what we see. We had our shot. He gave us life, but when it's over, it's over. Several months ago now, Jeff planted beautiful flowers around our little flower bed out there. And for a few weeks, we just gloried in those flowers, didn't we? Beautiful. Well, now the color is gone. Well, that's the way it is with life. Went down to the Metroplex this past week. Well, all the bluebonnets are gone. They flourish for a while. People scatter to the four winds to get their pictures made by the bluebonnets. But all of a sudden, they're gone. And what do we say? That's life. Well, that's true. That is life. We had our shot. But you know, there's another aspect to that. What if a person is born defective in some way? physically, mentally. Sometimes you see people who are born just agonizingly deformed, disabled. And you think, well, that's it for them. They had their one shot at life, but it wasn't a fair shot. Through no fault of their own, they are having to live life so far beneath what we would consider life. Someone may have to feed them. Someone may have to care for their every need as they live in a little box of some kind. Oh, how sad and how tragic that would be. Or to look at it a little different way, can you think of someone who is so wicked, so vile, who has done so much harm for so many people, and they die like anybody else? Get away scot-free? Can you think about there not being a hell if there is a Hitler? You mean one bullet hole through the head, just like that, it's all over for him? Just like that poor GI from Windthorst who was drafted and went to Germany. They just suffer the same fate. Well, what's fair about that? Well, there's nothing fair about that. And I'm happy to say to you, in the sense I'm happy in that it's fact, that that's not the way it is. Why? Because God is love. That poor child born in Africa that they show on television with the stomach and the skin that just almost falls away from the bones, who has not been fed or who has terrible disease. There must be something else. There must be something else. And what I'm saying to you is, there is something else, and I know it because God is love. That poor disabled person, that handicapped person, that's not his only shot at life. That wicked person who deserves punishment, he doesn't end like everybody else. That statement in 1 John 4 makes it certain that circumstances of life is not the last word. His love readjusts the balance of life and existence. And that takes place in the afterlife. And if we live to be 80 or 90 or 100 or beyond, when we get to that afterlife that God has prepared, this will be just a little brief moment. As James says, just a little mist that appeared for a little while before it vanished away. That's why you don't invest everything you have in that mist. You want the reality. Invest in the reality. And the reality is that God is love. So folks, what I'm saying this morning is that passage is a key that unlocks many other passages and answers many questions for us. And I just appeal to you as I speak to myself during your lonely times, during your times of feeling overwhelmed, during your times of terrifying fear or confusion. What does it all mean? During your times of desperation, where you really wonder, what is all of this about? Hold to that statement. Hold to that truth of 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Where is it? 1 John 4. Which John? 1 John. 1 John 4. God is love. Say it with me. God is love. Thank you, God, for being our Father.